Hello and welcome to the Thursday, March 17th edition of the Juno Afternoon on KTLO. We've got a great show. We're going to hear about a new subdivision, free hepatitis C screening, and a little education about that. Then we'll talk to Margie Hamburger from the City Museum about Juno Explorers Program and the Sham Jam. Want to know what that is? Stay tuned. All that and more.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal leaders and Native organizations are examining the record of President Obama's nominee to fill the empty U.S. Supreme Court seat. On Wednesday, Obama announced his choice, Federal Judge Merrick Garland. Executive Director of the Native American Rights Fund, John Echohawk, says Garland appears to have a limited record on Indian law issues. Echohawk says the judge voted against Indian interests in the 2007 tribal labor relations case, which undermined tribal self-governance and self-sufficiency. Tribal leaders across the country are also calling on Republican senators to give a fair hearing and a timely vote after GOP leaders have said they intend to block the president's choice. On Wednesday, at a gathering in Fairbanks, Alaska, Curtis Summer, Tanana Tribal Council Chairman, asked U.S. Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan for his consideration.
If we wait till next year and have a Republican or Trump in the White House, he will select a decidedly anti-Native U.S. Supreme Court justice. And I would urge you and Senator Murkowski to rethink the opposition to nominating a U.S. Supreme Court justice onto the Supreme Court.
Sullivan, who joined the meeting by video, did not say if he would consider Obama's nomination, but did respond to concerns about the next justice possibly opposing Native interests.
I'll tell you this, whoever's nominated to be the next Supreme Court justice, I will specifically ask and look deeply into their writing on if they're anti-Native. And if they're anti-Native, they're not going to get my support. That's a fact.
Tribal leaders say the next justice needs to have knowledge of Indian country because Native nations are impacted by federal courts to a greater degree than the rest of the country, because many of the issues Native people face are matters of federal law. In Ohio, four men are awaiting sentence for their parts in a case involving the illegal disturbance, removal, and sale of Native American remains. Brian Bull reports.
In November 2012, a private landowner's neighbor saw several men digging on the Sour Run Road property in Jackson County. The neighbor confronted the men, who fled, leaving a large hole and digging equipment behind. A county sheriff's investigation found that the men, Toby Thacker, David Skeen, and Brian Skeen, had unearthed skeletal remains and sold them to Mark Beatty for roughly $4,000. An analysis of the recovered remains confirmed they were of Native American origin. All four men have since pleaded guilty in what's the first criminal enforcement of the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act in the Southern District of Ohio. Assistant Attorney Mike Marus is with the U.S. District Attorney's Office there.
It is not uncommon in Ohio and other places in this country to have individuals who are interested in collecting artifacts from pre-Columbian era Native American artifacts, and unfortunately that can lead to illegal trafficking in archaeological or in Native American remains.
Possible sentences for the men include 200 hours of community service, 6 months of home confinement, and funding a newspaper ad on the unlawfulness of unearthing and selling Native American remains. I'm Brian Bull.
This week, the Oklahoma City Council approved an agreement to an unfinished American Indian Cultural Center and Museum. KGOU's Brian Hardzinski reports.
Under a bill passed last year, the state of Oklahoma is providing an additional $25 million in bonds and will transfer responsibility of the museum to the city once it's finished. The Chickasaw Nation agreed to help with completion costs, develop the surrounding commercial property, and provide up to $14 million in operating costs over the first 7 years. But there's no guarantee the museum will be successful, and that gave Councilman Pete White reservations about voting yes. Oklahoma City Finance Director Craig Freeman acknowledged there are uncertainties, and the deal hinges on reaching a successful agreement with the Chickasaws, which will come at a later date. I'm Brian Hardzinski.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. The Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Gathering of Nations to the Wise Pies Arena, a.k.a. The Pit, April 29th and 30th. Information on services and the Gathering of Nations at ahcnm.org. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello and welcome back to Juno Afternoon on KTOO in downtown Juneau, Alaska. It is 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of the show. And as for the weather, it is 43 downtown and at the airport, and it is 41 in the valley. Rest of today, mostly cloudy, chance of rain. And then tonight, cloudy, chance of rain, lows around 34. Friday, mostly cloudy, highs around 44, east wind 10 miles per hour. And then tomorrow night and the rest of the weekend, it looks like it is mostly cloudy, scattered rain. We're looking at mid-40s and then lows in the 30s at night. That snow line is creeping down the mountain, which crept a little more. That would probably make a lot of people happy. So here we are. We have our first guest. It is Greg Cheney. He is here representing the city and borough of Juneau. He's the land manager for the city, and he's here to talk about a new subdivision. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Doing great. It's wonderful to be here on this nice day here in springtime and St. Patrick's Day.
It is St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Yeah. So there is a new subdivision going on at Renninger, which is by the DZ Middle School, is that correct?
Right, Zontagahene Middle School, just across the street, which is the Renninger Street. There is a new little street being built. It's a little cul-de-sac, and I'm not sure how many of your listeners know, but Renninger Drive was named after a police officer who died while she was still working for the city of Juneau. She was a very vibrant and active community service officer, among other things. And so the street Renninger was named after her. And then we have named the little new cul-de-sac Jackie, because her first name was Jackie. So Jackie Renninger, there you go.
That's great.
So that's where we come up with the name. And it's going to be a little street. It's not a big development, although it's multifamily. And so that means you can have like apartment style or condominium style development, but you can also have single family housing there as well. It just depends on what the developer, whoever buys the land, wants to do with it. There's six lots that are going to be made available for sale, and you're allowed 15 units per acre. So we're going to have about 186 units potentially in this area. So you can do a lot in not a very big area when you're talking multifamily style development.
Okay, so that little street that we're talking about is quite a few units.
Could be.
Okay.
That's a theory.
Up to 186 units. So the city has started punching through the street. Is that the correct
thing? Well, that'd be one way to put it. Yeah, we're starting to build, and we actually have a contractor, Admiralty Construction, that's doing the work. And, you know, as this process has been moving along, we've had different groups approach us with interests. For example, the high school / UAS home building program has been interested in getting a lot to continue their program. We've provided property for them out at Lena before. Well, to say we provided, meaning they paid partial market value, and so we helped them out. And then we've got the folks that are managing Gruny Park are interested and expanding their operation. It's right next door, so it would work really well for them. And then we have a group called Pacific Development Group. It's a group of venture capitalists / developers from California that are interested in the Juneau housing market, and they've expressed very serious interest in doing a development there. Well, what happens when you get this kind of – these are all just informal inquiries. The assembly has been hearing about this, and they said, well, wait a minute, why don't we do a more formal request for interest? So right now we have a request for letters of interest posted on our website, And we're asking for anyone who's interested in building some multifamily housing there to send us a proposal. And the parameters are pretty simple right now. We're going to be weighing these based on the number of units proposed, whether it would serve an underserved or workforce population, and if the developer is proposing to pay fair market value or a portion thereof. So for example, an ideal application would be they would buy a lot, and there's six lots, so they're, each one has its own maximum number of units. But say, let's say they would buy a lot and they would pay full market value and build some kind of workforce housing. That would be an excellent proposal, right? You know, probably the other end of it would be somebody who would want to buy this lot and build something that wasn't even housing, like a store, something like that. That would not score well in our criteria.
Is it even zoned for any kind of commercial?
Oh, you can do a little commercial in D15. It's possible. I just use that as an example.
As left field.
right. So, you know, we get a lot of different things. We've had another person came in, although we haven't had a written proposal for assisted living for elder housing. So, yeah, a lot of things are possible, and we're reaching out to try to address the housing shortage. So, you know, the city spent quite a bit of money to develop the subdivision, so we would like to get a return on our investment. This is a public investment in this developing this property, so we can use that money to develop other property that we own. So.
Right, and affordable housing is an issue, and opening up more land is an
issue.
So this is
all of
part of the whole process.
Huge, yeah.
So what's the time frame? So you have this this letter of interest period open. When does that end?
Well, I would encourage people to look at our website, which is juno.org/lands, and right on the top thing on there is a request for letters of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really have to remember that. Just go to the city webpage, and then you can find your way there. And it's due on April 15th, these letters, before 4:30. And the city of Juno, and the anyway, people who are interested can either write a letter. I would assume that you would want to check in with us before you just came up with something, but if you don't have to.
Right. So the process is open now. It closes April 15th for people who are interested in developing the land with what within the parameters the city has in mind, affordable housing, multi-unit. Mm-hmm. And then what happens?
Well, we as staff will rank all of these different proposals that we get based on the criteria that we have, which, as I said, are fairly simple. And then we will present those to the assembly and probably initially through the lands committee. And then it'll be up to the assembly to decide what, if any, of these proposals we want to entertain.
Okay, so this is the very beginning of the process.
Yeah, it's the beginning, and we'd like to make it fair and open, and that's why I'm here, just kind of get the word out. And for those folks who aren't in the development business, which I'll guess is the majority of your listeners, because there are, you know, it's a small number of people that can do this sort of thing, we just want to let people know what we're doing. This is the city's attempt to try to help address some of the housing issues. It's not going to solve it, but it's a, you know, 100 and some units is actual progress in that direction.
Okay. And then just one last question. So you were saying that you have some interest from a few different groups of Greening Park expanding, a California Venture Group, maybe elder assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
What does the California Venture Group have in mind?
That's the Pacific Development Group, and they have a pretty aggressive proposal to build 90 units on the upper three lots. This is on a hillside, so I think it was above the road and below the road is how it works out, but they would do 90, and then that would be their initial project. And then after that, if that works out, they would like to fill out the rest of the subdivision with another development. But their plans are a little bit flexible because that's, you know, 186 is a lot of units. So I think they're interested in trying that first tier, see how that goes, and then if the land was still available, they're interested in the rest of it. So it looks, you know, they've shown some kind of preliminary sketches. It looks like multifamily housing.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you just joining us. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Greg Cheney from CBJ's Lands, he's the lands manager for the city. He's talking about a new subdivision that's going in by Santa Tahini, by Renninger, mm-hmm. Which the street, and now the Renninger's subdivision was named after the deceased
Jackie police, Renninger.
Jackie Renninger, and yeah. Now the new street will be Jackie as well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming by.
Is there time for me to mention a couple more things?
Absolutely.
Okay. We also have a housing action plan coming out for public comment. There will be a meeting on March 30th at 360 North downstairs here at K2, and then at March 31st at the new library out in the valley.
And what takes place at that?
We're going to get public comment on the housing action plan, and or people can become familiar with it. And that's a plan for the community to try to address our housing shortage. It's a pretty aggressive plan to look at different ways the community can encourage more housing to be built, especially workforce housing, because it's been identified that our biggest economic impediment to economic growth in Juneau is our lack of housing for workforce families, you know, people that are starting their careers. There really isn't much, and we'd like to get more built. So
okay.
There's that. And then we're going to be selling 5 lots at the Lena subdivision beginning in April. That's single family development type stuff, but you know, if you're interested in the Lena lot, keep your ears open. And then the land management plan is going to the assembly sometime in April. So if you're interested in the land management plan, it's on our website. And we'd be happy to talk to you about it if you want to give us a call.
And I would assume that those 2 meetings that you talked about, that would be a good place to learn about the land management as well? Or no, is that a different?
The Housing Action Plan is kind of an offshoot or a side. They're more or less in parallel. But there will be people there who will be familiar with the Housing Action Plan. I mean, people who are familiar with the land management plan at the Housing Action Plan meetings. Try to get that straight. It's kind of a mouthful. And, you can give us a call, phone number 586-0224.
Okay, and then it's all on juneau.org?
It's all on our website, so that's also a great resource.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for all you do for
Well, thank you
city.
For having me out here.
And
it's always fun to be on the radio.
Thanks for dropping by. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll bring our next guest.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 17th of March, 2016, St. Patrick's Day, religious celebration in Ireland for more than 1,000 years. St. Patrick died on this date in around 460 A.D. He was English, came from a not particularly religious family, was kidnapped by Irish pirates when he was about 16. They took him to Ireland, sold him into slavery to a Druid high priest who put him to work as a shepherd. So he spent a lot of the next 6 years outdoors and alone, praying, escaped back to England, had a dream that told him to return to Ireland and convert the pagans to Christianity. He already could speak Irish. He knew about the culture, so he adapted Irish traditions into Christian observances and was careful to deal fairly with people, Christian, non-Christian alike. By the time he died, he had established schools, monasteries, churches all over Ireland. And he wrote 2 books, his spiritual autobiography, the Confessio, the other, his letter to Curoticus, which condemned the British mistreatment of Irish Christians. And he's credited with the design of the Celtic cross, the ring around the cross, said to be Patrick's attempt to incorporate the Irish sun god into the Christian symbol. First St. Patrick's Day parade took place in 1737 in Boston, in part to call attention to the mistreatment of Irish immigrant workers. New York City threw its first St. Patrick's Day parade a few years later, and it now is the largest in the world. It's the birthday of the novelist Penelope Lively, born in Cairo, Egypt, 1933, author of the novels The Road to Litchfield, Treasures of Time, and According to Mark, among many others. Penelope Lively, who wrote, "We open our mouths and outflow words whose ancestries we do not even know. We are walking lexicons in a single sentence of idle chatter. We preserve Latin, Anglo-Saxon, Norse. We carry a museum inside our heads. Each day we commemorate peoples of whom we have never heard." And it was on this day, 1941, the National Gallery of Art opened on the Mall in Washington, thanks to the generosity of the financier Andrew W. Mellon, who donated the funds for the main building and who donated so much of the art that is in it. Botticelli, Raphael, Rembrandt, Turner, and Van Dyck. Here's a poem for today by Kim Dower entitled, There Will Be Things You Do. You won't know why, maybe waiting to tie your shoelaces until everything else is in place. Could be you'll slide your egg yolks aside, eat every bit of bacon, toast, whites, while the forsaken yellow orbs stare at you from the side pocket of your empty plate. People will ask, why do you save your yolks for last? And you won't know, won't recall, the cousin from the south came to visit one summer, ate his eggs so odd. Your family said, stuck with you, like the way you love to be kissed on the back of your neck. Can vaguely recollect your mother's kisses after your bath, too gentle for memory. There will be things you do you won't know why, like the way you look up at the sky when anxious or blue. It's what your father used to do. Every family trip when nothing else was right except those clouds moving north by northwest through the night, he showed you what pilots knew. Factors for safe flying are visibility and how low and mean the clouds are. A poem by Kim Dower, There Will Be Things You Do, From Last Train to the Missing Planet, published by Red Hen Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, a monthly devoted to discovering and publishing new voices in poetry. More at poetryfoundation.org. And by Lumosity.com, brain training developed by scientists to challenge memory and problem solving through online games. Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/parkrec/diamondpark. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782.
Hello, it's 22 minutes past the hour. I'm Joan Partis. You're listening to Juno Afternoon, which is produced and engineered by Jeff Brown. Our next guest is Claire Geldof. She is here from the Public Health Clinic. She's here to talk about a free testing service for the next 3 days. Hey, Claire, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Joan?
I'm good, thanks. So tell us about this hepatitis C free testing that's going on in town.
Yeah, so Juno Public Health Nursing Team is doing a two-day event that starts tomorrow, Friday, and we will be at some different locations offering free, confidential hepatitis C and HIV testing to people. And this is a great event as well because we're using a cheek swab, and we can produce results in the same day for individuals.
So. No needles.
No needles, no blood draws. We're doing cheek swabs, and we're around. So
yeah, our space age. So Friday, it's at the Front Street Community Clinic from 10 to 2, and also at the Gastineau Human Services from 1:30 to 5. Is that correct on Friday?
Yep. So tomorrow, Friday, we'll be at Front Street Community Clinic, which is in the upstairs section of that building. What is that building called? It's right next to the Walter Soboloff Center and right across the street from the Gross Alaska Theater. It's in the upstairs section, and people can call Juno Public Health Center if they need direction to that.
Right, and that number is 465-3353.
Yes, ma'am. And that starts at 10 o'clock and goes till 2. And then tomorrow afternoon at Gastineau Human Services out on Lemon Creek, near Costco, we will be offering testing from 1:30 to 5 p.m.
Okay. So if you're listening, let's say our listeners are hearing about this, who should go? Like, who should go and check this out to see if they have hepatitis C or HIV?
Sure. So people that may have had a history of using IV drugs maybe way long ago, or if you currently are using needles to inject drugs, should come on by. We'd love to screen you. If you have risk factors, if you might maybe have a family member, if you are a baby boomer, sometimes they advocate getting screened if you haven't already done that. If you've had any history of blood transfusions back in the 70s, 80s, you can come see us then. Really, Joan, I'd just love to see anyone come that's interested in testing or receiving care. It's open and welcome to anyone that'd like to come.
So. Okay. And so it's free testing, it's confidential, and it's also same-day results. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. And so we're using the cheek swabs and doing hepatitis C, and then HIV we can do as well.
Okay. And then on Saturday, there's the public health fair.
Yeah, this is just a general community health fair. We're not hosting it, but we will be there as a team of nurses. And that's at Thunder Mountain High School. And that starts at 9 o'clock and goes till noon.
On Saturday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I believe there will be many other organizations offering health screening and various support services.
And you'll have these testing services available there, too.
Yes, ma'am. We will. Great. So we'll be there.
All right. And then before I let you go, since you're here, mm-hmm. let's talk about the public health clinic and the types of services that the clinic provides.
Yeah. So public health clinic, we are over on Glacier Highway across the way from Twin Lakes. We just got a new beautiful sign that makes us a little more visible from the road. We offer immunizations, and coming up in April, we'll have a $1 immunization month. Anyone can walk in. Any immunization is going to cost $1.
Wow, that sounds great.
No office visits either as part of that cost. We offer screening services for sexually transmitted infections, things like HIV, hepatitis C, chlamydia, gonorrhea. We do well child checks. We offer tuberculosis testing and treatment, and then we can do some home visiting as well for people. So we have a wonderful clinic, great team of nurses, and if people have more questions about our services, they can certainly call us 465-3353.
That sounds great. Yeah. Okay, so you heard it here. There is a free testing tomorrow at Front Street Clinic from 10 to 2 and Gastineau Human Services 1:30 to 5 for hepatitis C and HIV. And then during the public health fair at Thunder Mountain on Saturday, same services but a wide range of people, all different types of resources from the community there from 9 till noon.
Yep.
Did I get
that's
that right?
Right. Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. That sounds great. Well, come back in April when you have that $1 immunization month. That sounds like a great
we
situation.
Will.
Well, thanks for all you do for Juno.
Yeah, thank you, Juno. We love being a part of this community, and I wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day and good weekend.
That sounds great. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
This is Bird Note. While it's still winter in many parts of North America, it's summer in Antarctica, and the birds are singing. At least, the penguins are. A pair of king penguins stands face to face. They tilt their heads back, point their long bills skyward, and trumpet in unison. Second largest of all penguins, king penguins stand nearly 3 feet tall. They're surprisingly colorful, too, with a bright oval of lustrous orange-yellow adorning the back half of their dark heads. Some king penguins form breeding colonies that number in the tens of thousands, and when many pairs tip their heads back and sing, it sounds like the world's largest kazoo band. Altogether, more than 2 million king penguins nest on islands in the Southern Ocean, the sea that surrounds Antarctica. Their breeding cycle ranks among the longest of all birds. From the time the female lays her single egg in late spring, it'll take about 14 months before that chick is ready to fend for itself the following summer. We hope, with a loud send-off from the immense kazoo band. Writers for Bird Note include Bob Sundstrom, Ellen Blackstone, and Dennis Paulson. I'm Michael Stein.
It's 29 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Marty Hamburger's here from the City,
Juno Douglas City Museum.
Thank you very much. I wanted to give it to the proper name. And you've got two programs happening coming up right now.
Yeah, just kind of bam, bam. Okay. Although different focuses, different people want to come to different things. But, yeah, I can just launch in. The first is this Saturday. We have this series. Many people maybe are familiar with our Coffee and Collection series, we call it. So another one coming up this Saturday at 10:30. It's Women's History Month. So Marie Darlin, who's a famous person in town and one of our favorite local historians, is taking a picture that we have in our collection called Women of Juno. It's a painting by an artist named Marjorie Byrne that was painted during the for the Juno Centennial. And then the museum owns that now. And anyway, includes 17, looking at my notes here, 17 portraits in this one painting of women that she and other people who were contributing to building the painting deemed worthy of recognition at that time, people who had contributed in some way to the history of Juno
and
significantly. So
like female pioneers?
Not just pioneers. I mean, different kinds of people who, you know, lived sometime, either were living then, or this was 1980. So, you know, some of them are fairly contemporary, you know, to the 80s. And other ones much, much older than that. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the painting on display, and Marie has assembled sort of a cast of characters of folks. She's really working to get people who had some personal connection to at least one, if not several, of the women in the painting. What's the guy who plays the one who plays the organ at the State Office Building? McKinnon,
yeah.
Right? So he was a piano student of Carol Beery Davis, who was a woman that many people know, and she was his piano teacher. So, you know, somebody like that, he can talk about, you know, his personal connection to that. So, anyhow, we're going to just kind of remember those women and hear their stories, and hoping that the assembled audience, people who come, if they have personal stories, will have time in the program to share those, or maybe even talk about women who aren't in the painting, who we think also are, you know, if we do another painting, who would be worthy of recognition in that way.
That sounds great. So that's 10:30
on Saturday at the museum. It's a free program. Heritage Coffee and the Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum sponsor us. So we'll have coffee and conversation and look at the painting and just have a nice morning in the museum.
That sounds lovely. What a great way to start your day. That sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. They're really fun events. And it's, you know, people are interested in Juno history and hearing those stories, it's fun to bring them together.
Sounds great. And then for something completely different,
right,
what do you have cooking for spring break, which
yes,
is next
spring
week?
Spring break. It's a tradition that we do a program called Juno Explorers, and I like to pick a different theme each time that gets us out in the community, gets kids out in the community learning about history or culture or the people who live here, work here. So that's our theme this time, jobs in Juno. And so kids can sign up, many of them have, and each day we're going to go to a different workplace in the community. On Friday we're coming here, in fact, and Jeff is going to host us, and we're going to learn about radio and TV is one of our places. But each day we go, Monday we're going to go meet Pat Race at Lucid Reverie, and actually he's going to do a zine-making workshop with us, so that's going to be kind of an artsy day. Tuesday we're going to take the bus out to the to the Forest Service on Back Loop Road there. We're going to meet an archaeologist and some biologists and learn about what those jobs are like and look at some cool objects, mystery objects that an archaeologist digs up. And they said there's a lot of beaver activity in the ponds back there, so I'm hoping we get to see some of that.
That'd be great.
Wednesday, we're going to the Southeast Alaska Animal Medical Center. That's that vet clinic over there by Fred Meyer. And they've got a really fun day for us, and we get to have a ultrasound of a dog, and we get to bring our pet animals, our stuffed animals, and we're going to learn about pet care and bandage them up when they have pretend owies and stuff like that. So
oh, that's great.
That's going to be fun. And then Thursday we go to the police department and see what goes on behind the scenes there. And then on Friday, as I said, we come to KTOO, and actually we're going to also go just down the dock there to Taku Fisheries and see the fish processing.
That sounds great. So what's the target audience?
Elementary school grade. So kindergarten to fifth graders, and you can come for the whole week, or you can just pick and choose days, and people can go to our website or call us up to, get that information or register. Monday is close to being full, so if anyone's interested in the zine making workshop, they better hurry up. And I think the police department maybe is my second favorite one or something.
Okay.
And I think, but yeah.
And is that all day?
No, I'm sorry. Great. Thanks for asking these questions. 12:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, next week. And by the day or by the week?
Good. That sounds great. And what's the number to call?
You can call us at 586-3572 is our main line. And you can also find us at juno.org/museum.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, Margie, thanks for coming and telling us about these two different events, a great women's history event this Saturday.
This Saturday, 10:30.
At 10:30, and then the Juno Explorers, which is one of those staple of spring break camps,
right,
which is great. All right, well, thanks for all you do.
Okay,
we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Join us for our next live television recording of Writer Showcase, a 360 North production that features professional actors presenting writing by Alaskans. Family, relationships, love, and a free wood stove that's not so free are a few of the themes our writers and actors explore. Cameras roll on Thursday, March 17th at 7 p.m. at 360 in the K2 building. Admission is free.
Almost twice as many Alaska Natives are exposed to secondhand smoke and aerosols in their workplace than non-Natives. Secondhand smoke contributes to preventable illness and premature death. Smoke-free policies protect the public's health, discourage people from starting, and help people quit tobacco. 118 Alaskan tribes have passed comprehensive tobacco-free tribal resolutions. If your tribe wants to join this movement, contact Search at 364-4452. This message is brought to you by Search and the Partnership for Tobacco-Free Southeast.
Welcome back. Our next guests are Senator Johnny Ellis and staffer Sarah Evans. They are here to talk about Sham Jam. So what is Sham? Sarah's wearing her green, by the way. And what is Sham Jam?
It's an exciting charity event coming up this Saturday. It was originally conceived 31 years ago when I came to Juneau as a staffer before I was elected to the State House and then the State Senate. As a charity fundraiser, so this is the 31st annual Sham Jam, and for the last 6 years, the proceeds have gone to the Canvas, a subsidiary of Reach. It's therapeutic art space and art supplies for young Alaskans who experience developmental disabilities. Lots of support here in Juneau, lots of recognition, just down the hill from the Capitol Building, and for the last 6 years, we've made the Canvas our charity project, and it's been a very positive relationship.
That sounds great. What is the event? What takes place at Sham Jam? Where does it take place and what time?
Well, it's a dance party, and it's a lot of fun, and there's a costume contest, and Sarah's going to get into more of the details. But we've had some great parties over the years. One of our best was Zombie Apocalypse. That was the theme. This time it's Viva Las Vegas. What happens at Sham Jam stays at Sham Jam.
Oh, yeah, and a town decides that always happens. Yeah.
And so there's a lot. Yes, no secrets in Juneau, that's for sure, in the legislature or otherwise. But we expect a lot of amazing Vegas-style costumes, maybe some showgirls, maybe some Elvis impersonators.
We have a few.
But Zombie Apocalypse was one of our best themes. We also had a Big Lebowski contest, costume contest, but it's a lot of dancing, a lot of socializing, pizza, and lots of libations, lots of fun.
Sounds great.
And so, Sarah has the details.
Great. So where is it, Sarah?
So the event is at the campus, actually. It's 223 Seward Street. So they let us kind of push everything aside, and we'll have it decorated all Vegas-themed. And it's going to be it starts at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. on Saturday night and goes till midnight. And you have to be 21 and older to show up.
Okay.
But that's because the tickets are $20 in advance and $25 at the door. The ticket gets you into the party. It gets you we have beer and wine and some champagne. And then we also have pizza. And then we have, you know, the dance party. We're going to have a drag show by some of Juneau's finest.
Fun.
And it's just a really, really great time. We're going to be dancing all night and just having a ball.
For a good cause.
Right. And this is Saturday?
Yes.
Okay, great.
This Saturday. So if you don't have a ticket yet, they're selling them all over the place, but one of the best ways is to stop by the Capitol in our office. We're on the ground floor, room 7, and we have plenty of tickets.
That sounds great. And all the proceeds go to the canvas.
All the proceeds. So last year was our 30th Sham Jam event, so the tickets were a little more. They were $30, but we were able to raise over almost $8,000, $7,800 for the canvas. So
that's great.
We're trying to break that and donate even more this year. So all proceeds go there. And our liquor was donated by some great businesses. And around Juneau, the Alaska Brewery donated a couple kegs for us. And, it's just
excellent support from Juneau businesses.
That sounds great. So you heard it here. It's the Sham Jam, Viva Las Vegas, what stays in Vegas. Whatever happens at the canvas stays at the canvas on Saturday from 8 to midnight. It's kind of like a cone of anonymity.
Something like that.
Yeah, and the other last thing we'd like to say is that although this is put on by the Young Democrats and people in the at the Capitol, this is an event for everybody. We want Juneau residents. We want people of whatever political party you are, we just want you to come out and have a great time. And that was what Senator Ellis envisioned 31 years ago. And
it seems like the Republicans who come to the party have the best time. I don't know if Republicans don't have great dance parties, but the Democrats do. We're the life of the party. But it's just a good time where people set aside their partisanship and just dance the night away for a good cause.
That sounds great. Well, thank you for what you're doing in behalf of Sham Jam and your service to the state, both of you. And you heard it here. Go get your tickets at Senator Ellis's office on the first floor of the Capitol or at the usual vendors. But make sure you're at Vegas, which is AKA the Canvas, 8 o'clock for a good cause on Saturday night.
Yeah, and also if you for some reason aren't able to get your ticket, you can always get it at the door. It's just $5 more, but like we said, all the proceeds go to a good cause. So,
a good cause, St. Patrick's Day weekend, and sounds like a great party.
Yeah, so we'll leave you with a poster.
It's good. It's a great poster.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's 1,000 pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I am just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than the 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel, a fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing. All those hopes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. If it cost me my very last dime, if I wind up broke,
welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Joan Partis, your Thursday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer. And now, moving from Sham Jam to Man of La Mancha, we have John Clow and Scarlett Adam from Juneau Lyric Opera here. Mm-hmm. They're both in the show, and they're here to talk about the second weekend of Man of La Mancha. How are you guys?
We're great.
We're good. So, rumor has it that the show is fantastic.
Well, we're having a lot of fun.
Cast of thousands.
Yes, exactly.
Not cast of dozens, but it is fantastic. It really is. And, of course, this is our last weekend, just 3 more shows left. So we're really hoping people get out and take advantage of one of these next 3 shows to see us while we're up there.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. It's at the Who, What, Where, When, and When.
It's at Juneau Douglas Theater, mm-hmm. or the high school theater. It's Juneau Lyric Opera putting it on. And our dates and times are, Scarlett?
So we have Friday and Saturday night at 7:30.
and Sunday, our final show at 2:30.
Okay, and people could get tickets at the usual places
you can get
and
at
the
usual
door?
Spots or at the door, absolutely.
Okay, so Man of La Mancha must be quite a large production to do.
Well, it's, I think, you know, Scarlett and I have produced several shows together during our time on the JLO board, and this has been the most challenging. This is the culmination of 2 years of work on this show. it is the most complex and amazing set we've ever put on a Juno stage for Juno Lyric Opera.
Very tall.
The show itself, of course, it's the tallest set probably ever built anywhere
in
Juno.
It flies.
It's amazing.
There's moving parts.
It's the kind of set you might see in Seattle, but you wouldn't expect to see here in Juno. It was so large that when we finished building it, we had to assemble it in an airplane hangar and then take it apart and reassemble it on the stage at the high school just to make sure it worked.
That sounds great. Juno ingenuity right there.
There you go.
Absolutely. It was a team of three of us working for 2 straight weeks to build that puppy. It was designed by a set designer in Seattle, a professional set designer, conceived on a set for one of the revivals of the show done on a major stage in London. So we really brought a little bit of a big-time theater right into here with Juno with this one.
That sounds great. That sounds great. And how many people are in the show?
There's about 25 cast members on stage at any given time. However, we have a 15-piece orchestra. We have a bunch of people working behind the scenes, lights, sound. It's definitely been a labor of love. So many people have worked very hard, and I think it's come together beautifully.
That's what I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to try this weekend.
Ooh.
But it definitely sounds, word on the street is people are just loving it.
That's great. For our 40th season, that's lovely to hear.
This is the pinnacle show of our 40th anniversary season, and you know, we feel very lucky that last year the City Assembly gave us the award of Most Outstanding Arts Organization in Juno. We really feel like we're living up to it with this one. What I can say, having watched an awful lot of Juno Lyric Opera shows over the last 15 years, is we've never had one that has such intense visual and musical moments. The combination of the set, the lighting, and some of the singing, there are moments in this show that are truly just to die for. I mean, Scarlett, sitting beside me, has a moment, which I won't even describe, to take it away and take the surprise away. But I sit there on stage as a bit player, and I get tears in my eyes every time I watch her do it. It's that type of a show, and the set is brilliant. The lighting by Michelle Amore is brilliant, and the singing that Scarlett, that Myron Welling does as Don Quixote, oh my gosh, what
Odin
a paradigm.
Odin Brody, David Miller, Brett Crawford, Jay Query, oh my goodness, Caitlin Portiga, Wendy Burns, it's a fabulous cast.
We're really proud of this one.
It sounds great. So let me just ask you one question before I let you guys go so you can rest up for your show tomorrow night. But so people hear Juno Lyric Opera, and let's say somebody's listening and they don't know the story of Man of La Mancha. Can you give me the 2-minute pitch of, like, if you come to the show, because some people hear opera and they go,
it's not opera.
Not opera.
No worries. It's a 5-time Tony Award winner. Broadway.
It's one of the most famous Broadway
musicals
of all time.
Yes, you tell her the story quickly.
Okay, this is Don Quixote, the man who tilts at windmills, the man who strives to see the world as it could be instead of settling for what the world as it is. And that's just why we did the show, because the music is great, the story was great, and it has a message, which I got to tell you, in 2016, which we see what's happening all around us in the country and right here in Juneau, I like seeing a story about someone who's willing to strive for things as they could be and not settle for them as they are.
It's a story of hope.
It sounds like beautiful art.
It is. And fantastic singing. And actually, quite a few comic moments in there, too. Odin Brody as Sancho is a hoot.
Yeah, and John gets a bullwhip, so.
Yeah. I'm
we're
going to
leave it like that.
We'll leave it
as well.
John
say.
And his whip.
All right.
Typecasting yet again.
Exactly. So, Juno Lyric Opera, buy your tickets. It's at the high school, 7:30 Friday and Saturday,
2:30 Sunday.
2:30 on Sunday, and this is it.
This is it. Yes.
This is it. This is the last weekend, and I've had several guests come in just today and say, I'm going back to see this show.
Good.
So, thank you
so
for all
much.
You do and
thank
sharing
you.
Your talent in Juno.
Thank you.
Good to see you guys.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Nancy DeCharney for more Arts Up. 10 minutes to the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Nancy DeCharney is here. She is our guest every Thursday at this hour, and she is here to tell us what's going on that we haven't already discussed in Juno this weekend.
Well, we're not going to dream the impossible dream, right?
Yes, we are all going to dream the impossible dream and go see Man of the Month.
Yes,
it sounds fantastic.
I saw it. It's fabulous. Don't miss it. Really. Seriously, don't miss it. Okay, what are we doing tonight, folks? We've got Bluegrass Thursday at the Red Dog Saloon. There's Tango Dancing at Suite 907 out at 7 p.m. because it's St. Patrick's Day. There's a bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah,
there's a St. Patrick's Day party with Fira McGinnis at McGivney's downtown. So
that sounds very fitting.
I don't know. And then, of course, we've got the vibrator play going on.
Oh, at Perseverance.
Yes. So you have, until April 3rd to see the Perseverance play. And if you have to make choices and you only have Lyric Opera,
Lyric Opera, Man of La Mancha is wrapping up this weekend.
Yeah, don't miss any of these things. You got to parcel your time out. You got to make plans. Stuff. So, okay, then we've got, let's see, on Friday there's an early childhood conference with a speaker, Pat Sidmore, at Centennial Hall. There is the Clothesline Project at the Canvas, which is always a fun art exhibit. We have traditional Irish music at the Alaskan Bar on Friday night from 10 until 2 a.m. On Saturday it's the JDHS Dance Camp. That's always fun because it's spring break.
It is spring break.
Yay! At 9 a.m. to noon, it is the Juno Community Health Fair, the Bartlett Regional Hospital thing.
Yes, we talked about that. At Thunder Mountain.
Right, it's a new location for them.
9 to 12,
so yes. Head out there. The Tongass Turners will be having a March meeting out there in the wood shop. These are guys that work, folks that like to do wood turning, so that's fun. There's a coffee and collections, Women of Juno, at the Juno Douglas City Museum.
We spoke to Margie Hamburger about that.
Oh,
that
good.
Sounds really exciting.
They do really nice programs, and, it comes with coffee and usually baked goods. How bad can that be?
History and a little coffee class.
10 o'clock in the morning and then go for a little walk. Have a nice day. Let's see, there's a Fill the Burn campaign grand opening at 2 p.m. on Saturday.
What is that?
I think it's political in nature. A Bernie Sanders campaign place, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
So then there's GSC, which is the Glacier Swim Club tryouts at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 4:30. There is a World Youth Day benefit at St. Anne's Hall from 7 to 8:30. And then there's the Man of La Mancha and the Sham Jam and all these things. Perseverance, it's amazing. And then gold medal begins on Sunday.
There we go.
So that's
March
fun.
Madness.
Hopefully you'll have lots of friends coming into town. There's the ukulele thing over at the Prospector. There's Gold Town Nickelodeon is collaborating with lots of different groups, and in particular this week they are collaborating with the Juno Dance Theater with a broadcast of the Paris Opera Ballet, and it is a really phenomenal set of films. It's one film, but it's Sunday at 2, and then it is again, I believe, on Tuesday. I'll have to check that to be sure, but it's really nice that a nice way that they're helping out other organizations.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. So in the afternoons, you've got your matinees for the Man of La Mancha and Perseverance. And there's at 4:30, Storis, the Galloping Ghost of the Alaskan Coast, which is happening at Gold Town Nickelodeon also. So that's exciting. There's Juno Cabaret on Sunday from 7 until 10 p.m. at the Rockwell Ballroom. And karaoke out at Suite 907, in case you get stirred by the cabaret and you want to sing some more.
Exactly. You just can't hold yourself back.
Just keep going. Yes. And then on Monday, it's the last event in our season, which is the Wonderheads, which is a wordless mask theater. And it's appropriate for kids ages 6 and up, all the way to the whatever age you and I might be.
And beyond.
And beyond. Yes, but it looks like it's going to be really, really fun. I am looking forward to it. It's, like I said, it's just a fantasy sort of thing. It's billed as being a cross between Maurice Sendak, Pixar, Dr. No, and a few other things. So,
sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be quite delightful. I don't know if you remember when we had Imago Theater, mm-hmm. which is also from Portland. This is a group from Portland, and I think they're quite similar to the whole thing. So you can also see the Makerspace is going to be open on Monday from 6 until 8. That's out on Anka Street, out by the brewery. And then there is also a free course for prospective home buyers at the Riverbend Apartments. But I would say you need to go to Wonderheads. It's at 7 p.m. and it's at JDHS, so don't miss that. And by the way, if we do give our friends and neighbors who are visiting from out of town a 20% discount. So if you know folks are here for the gold medal and they're needing a little something else to do that, encourage them to come and we'll give them a discount on their tickets. And
cool.
So gold medal proceeds on through the week. We have a marketing class that Travel Juno's doing, a diesel engine class on Tuesday at the EdTech Center. There's a second annual Food Security Awareness Week, Just Eat It, at the Rockwell at 7 p.m., and West Coast Swing Dancing. And on Wednesday is your second opportunity to see the ballet movie. So there's a few things to do. I hope everybody's going to have a great spring break. We've got daffodils.
We do have daffodils. And if anything that Nancy said sparked an interest, you can find out all the details at jahc.org.
Or at ktoo.org.
On ktoo.org.
Yeah.
And just then you can plot out your weekend.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be a really lovely weekend. New restaurants opening, all sorts of things happening. So
sounds great.
Spring up.
All right. Up. Thanks for dropping by, Nancy.
Thank you.
I know it was a big commute to get here, but we do appreciate it.
Look at all that parking.
I know the KTOO and Juno Arts and Humanities Council offices are across the street from each other. So thank you for sharing your afternoon with us at Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It is 3 minutes to the hour, and it is 33 downtown in the airport, 32 in the Mendenhall Valley. And tonight it's going to be cloudy, and tomorrow it's going to be cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 44. Friday night, mostly cloudy, lows 31 to 37. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we're looking at mostly cloudy. And then tomorrow at 3 o'clock, you definitely want to tune in. Andy Klein will be sitting here, and he'll be talking about everything that's going on this weekend and more. We're talking about the Friday Fireside Lecture, the Wonderheads that Nancy was just talking about, Tom Loker and the Cabaret, and that ghost film at Goldtown. And then also tonight, 7 o'clock, tune in right here to hear this month's Mudrooms. Thanks for sharing your day with us. Have a great one.